This is episode number 131 of the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded on January 20th, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're sighing, you bring on the rain, so stop your sighing. Be happy again. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. Stop your crying, be happy again. Oh, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
That was the special long extended edition of the Cliff Bruner 1934 song, When You're Smiling. This is, of course, the Android Buffet Podcast, currently sponsored by the people at Dine.com. I played the long version because I was really hoping that Jerry Jones would be somewhere other than not here. We don't know where Jerry Jones is right now. We're hoping Jerry Jones will show up soon, and we're beginning minute 3 of Jerry Jones Watch. So please stay tuned, and we will see whether or not Jerry Jones appears. In the meantime, we have a few things to go over. I'm going to have to entertain you. As you may have heard from previous episodes where Jerry did not show up, the show must go on. So, today is, of course, the 21st, and this is normally where I would go and ask Jerry for a number, which he normally provides, about the number 131. And then occasionally I, of course, talk about the history of the day. So I will take this opportunity, in the hopes Jerry Jones will show up, to talk about the history of January 21st. By the way, today is, of course, Martin Luther King Day in the United States. Obviously a very important event. Let's see, January 21st, let's go through history here, some interesting events. The first American novel is printed in Boston. Louis XVI of France is executed by guillotine. Jefferson Davis resigned from the United States Senate. New York City passed the Sullivan Ordinance, making it illegal for women to smoke in public. That was 1908. Let's see what else happened. That's not really a pleasant thing. The first nuclear-powered submarine, the Nautilus, is launched in Groton, Connecticut by Mamie Eisenhower. 1960, Avianca Flight 671 crashed and burns upon landing at Montego Bay, the worst air disaster in Jamaica's history. and the first for Avianca, but not the last. Moving along, commercial service of the Concorde begins. 1976, 77, Jimmy Carter pardoned nearly all American Vietnam draft evaders. The 1981 production of the iconic DeLorean DMC-12 sports car begins in Dunmurry, Northern Ireland, beginning a new age of time travel. The public celebration 85 of the inauguration of President Ronald Reagan to a second term is moved indoors because of freezing temperatures and high winds. 1999, the U.S. Coast Guard intercepts a ship with over 4,300 kilograms of cocaine on board. 2008, Black Monday in worldwide stock markets. Happy birthday to some people. Let's see here. Whose birthday is it? Oh, yes, King Charles V. Let's skip to more recent events. I assume it's Martin Luther King birthday somewhere around here, but not literally today. Let's see. A bunch of other people. Nana Mizuki. This is what I do when I don't have Jerry to talk to. Let's see. Jacob Smith's birthday. Ooh, Princess Ingrid Alexandra of Norway. Oh, well. Let's see. It's Christian Feast Day. It is Flag Day in Quebec. And it's National Hug Day in the United States. What's National Hug Day? I've never heard of that. National Hug Day is an annual holiday created by Reverend Kevin Zaborni. Officially recognized by the Hugging Committee. Is Wikipedia kidding me here? Holiday was founded March 29th, 1986 in Cairo, Michigan. The purpose of the holiday is to show everybody, show more emotion in public. Somebody at Wikipedia must be kidding. I did not know there was a National Hugging Day. But apparently it's January 21st, so happy National Hugging Day to everyone. And I am, while I'm waiting for Jerry and still hoping to show up, don't worry, I'm going to talk about Android. I have a contest going. So my contest is, I want you to send us a picture of you enjoying your primary Android device with what it is and, you know, some sort of picture of you enjoying it. And our prize this week is courtesy of last week's guest, Matt Paparocki, courtesy in the sense that he is the reason why I'm giving it away. He talked me into buying a copy of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the 40th anniversary edition. So I just happen to have this DVD here of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that I am replacing with this Blu-ray that he talked me into. That guy keeps talking me into buying new Blu-rays of things I already own. It is a classic movie. It includes not only the movie itself, but a documentary on the making of the movie, feature-length audio commentary with the Wonka Kids, four sing-along songs, a behind-the-scenes featurette, and a photo gallery. So if you wish to revisit your childhood with a copy of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, send us a picture of you with an accompanying note, enjoying your mobile device, and you may be eligible to win. If there is more than one entry, of course, we may either choose to impose additional prizes, or we may have some sort of tiebreaker or random drawing. I'm looking forward to people competing for a prize, because so far no one has competed for any of the prizes we've done, and the thought excites me. Please come home, Jerry. Anyway, let's see. We'll get to a little news here. The overbite in humans developed as a result of the fork. This is a fascinating non-Android story from this week. Apparently, the reason why we have an overbite, well, some of us do at least, is because of utensils. Apparently, prior to utensils, there was no such thing as an overbite. What do you think about that, Jerry?
I don't know. Eh. Meh. Ugh.
I don't do a good Jerry. I'm sorry. So, let's see here. Facebook wants a new breed of flash memory for storing old pictures. This would be designed for archival storage. The idea would be for flash memory that required very little energy to be accessed. It was mostly designed for, of course, reading rather than writing. So long term. And that could actually be good for other things. Because how many times do you see long term storage where you don't want to access it regularly? You may want to read it every so often, but you want to be able to access it within a few moments. Right now, for long term archival memory, usually, let's take Amazon Glacier, that's going to take at least a few hours to get at because of your agreement with them. Because of that, you save a lot of money on storage. Jerry, is that you?
Hello.
Don't ever leave me again, Jerry.
How's that?
I had to start the show without you, and I was so worried you would never show up.
Oh.
Have you ever heard me try to talk to myself?
No, I haven't. Is it fun?
No, I'm not very interesting to myself. You know, I already know what I'm going to say.
I'm sorry.
Went through the opening music. I already talked about this day in history because you weren't here to give me a number that had something to do with 131. I already talked about the contest that I'm going to be doing.
Ooh, a contest.
Yes, it's show us a picture of you and you're using your Android device in some sort of happy pose, and you may be eligible to win this prize that was unofficially contributed by last week's guest.
Ah.
Yeah, I know you listened to the episode, so you could hear about what we said behind your back while you weren't here.
I will listen to it. I have not yet.
Okay, our guest was Matt Pepperocki.
Oh, cool.
He was very disappointed that you missed him. He talked me into buying the 40th anniversary Blu-ray of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So the prize will be this DVD of same movie. Since I now have the Blu-ray, I'm going to give away the DVD as a prize. So if you want to relive your childhood.
Because who doesn't?
Well, yeah, I would say. Also, Jerry, a few other things that you missed. Let's see. I sent you some notes here, so let's go through a few things.
Yes.
Because it is cold and flu season here in the Northeast, I want to remind everybody that they should clean their cell phones and other mobile devices because they may be a magnet for potential germs. Remember, if you're here in New York, for example, there has been a state of emergency declared in regards to the flu.
Are you kidding?
What do you mean? Kidding about what?
There's a state of emergency due to the flu?
Yes. Our governor has declared one. Unless he turned it off and I didn't know.
Wow.
We have record flu. Here we are. Governor Cuomo declares New York state of emergency amidst the worst flu epidemic, in years. Claimed the lives of 2 children and 10 elderly people.
Wow, that sucks.
Governor Cuomo has issued a special executive order that allows pharmacies to administer flu shots to kids under 18. People are dying, and that's really scary, said 23-year-old student Dylan Scott, who got the shot at Duane Reade yesterday. That's a pharmacy, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that people get sick on the flu, but
people do die.
You don't expect people to die on the flu.
Have you ever heard of the influenza pandemic of 1918?
Right, but that was before modern medicine.
But influenza is still a very serious disease and does kill people.
Wow.
Yes. On a happy note, Jerry, you did miss us also. Apparently today is National Hugging Day. I didn't know this.
I'm glad I'm not around anybody.
Yeah, it was apparently founded in 1986 to help everyone show more emotion in public.
But maybe Jerry, not a good idea in light of the flu pandemic.
I'd like to express a virtual hug to you, Jerry, because you were missed. I wanted to ask, how was your trip to Washington? Never happened.
Okay, number one, it is so cold there. Yes. Like, a lot cold. Very cold. Excessively cold. And second, I have to go back tomorrow.
Does this mean I'll be missing you next week?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Now, apparently, the company...
Yes.
...that was supposed to come visit us...
Yeah.
...a potential client, a potential huge client that was supposed to come visit us...
Canceled?
...pushed off their visit for a week. So they will be visiting us on Wednesday.
So you're going back.
I had plans with my daughter yesterday, so I could not stay up there. So I flew back on Saturday, did my thing with Christy yesterday, and that's what I was doing. I was hanging out with her and completely lost track of time.
Okay, well, had you not shown up...
I have to go back tomorrow, and I'll be back on Thursday.
Had you not shown up, I did have a contingency plan. It involved sock puppets and funny voices.
Well, thank goodness we don't have to go that far.
Yeah, I was almost at that point. Let's see. A few other things, Jerry, that you missed. I now am the owner of a Galaxy S3.
Whoa, really?
Yes, I bought it used from a guy in Chicago who thought it was too small. So he upgraded. He swapped it in for a Note 2.
The Galaxy 3 is freaking huge, right?
4.8.
That's bigger than my phone.
Yeah. And
my phone's freaking huge.
His new phone is 5.5.
That's not a phone. That's a tablet.
No, it's a phablet. No, it's a term, phablet. Like a very big phone.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than that, I am in the midst of a Chromebook challenge. I have been spending time with a Chromebook.
And a Chromebook challenge means you're trying to not use any other
computer
besides the Chromebook?
For my daily use. So when I'm out of the house, I use my phone. So I'm not excluding that. I'm talking about the stuff that I do inside the house on a computer. I've tried doing it on a Chromebook.
And how's that working out for you?
I can do really well, if not for some problems with IRC. But actually, it's not something I'd want to do for the rest of my life. But I think I can do it for a bit. I think it's good for trips, where you're not going to be doing 50 million things.
I don't think it would work for me.
Well, you're programming things.
Yes.
When I'm on a trip, I'm not programming anything. When I'm on a trip, I'm doing stuff. When I'm not doing stuff, I'm answering email. Maybe I'll write a nice blog entry, but I do that in a web browser, so we'll see. You'll hear more about that. I'm going to do a little writing about it.
All right.
Along with my S3 experience.
I certainly believe that for the vast majority of people, a Chromebook is fine. I mean, heck, they turn their computer on and they start their browser, and that's pretty much the only program they use anyway, so.
Well, I was looking at how many things that I use that aren't in a browser that I could replace with a browser.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, a lot of them. There's an IRC web client. There's an IM web client for Google Talk, which I do leave open. And, you know, there's a little inconvenience, but I thought it was a nice little challenge. But, and, of course, after I'm done, I'm going to reset the thing and dual boot Linux and Chrome OS. So it'll have a use. Nothing wrong with having
a... Can you do that? I didn't think it had, like, a mouse.
Why does it need a mouse? It has a trackpad.
Oh,
okay. It has a USB port.
I didn't realize Chromebooks had trackpads. That's I thought they were all touchscreen.
It's like, no, you're thinking of other systems. This is essentially just a standard computer with a different BIOS.
That's the thing. Oh.
Yeah.
How quick does it start?
Well, if I'm going to dual boot it, it's going to double it. But right now, about 20 seconds. Maybe a little less.
That's not bad for an itty-bitty laptop.
Well, it's a $199 Acer C7 with a 320 gigabyte hard drive, I believe. And it had 2 gigabytes of RAM. I added an extra 4 that I had sitting around here.
Okay, now the make or break question is, what's the screen resolution?
Let me think on that. I think it's 1366, but I have to check. One second. It's an 11.6-inch screen. So let's look it up. Acer C7 Chromebook. Let's see if we can find it out. I have my tablet in front of me. Let's see. Hardware upgradable. I'm just trying to find the spec. See if you can find it. I'm using a tablet. Which is not a bad thing. Here we are, Acer C7 resolution. What is the screen resolution of the Acer C7? Here we are, 1366 by 768.
Oh, too low. Unacceptable.
It depends on what you're doing with it, doesn't it?
No. At no point, for no task, is 768 vertical pixels acceptable.
Listen to the person who has 4 monitors.
5.
5, 4, 3, 2.
And every one of them is 1600 pixels high. So over twice that.
I understand, yeah, but I'm using this for a specific purpose.
My laptop is 1,200 pixels, 1,200 vertical pixels. Yeah, no. 760, under 800 pixels, never. Not happening.
Okay. We all accept the limitations of life. On that note, Jerry.
Freaking acceptable.
I want to take a moment from your anger in order to talk about our sponsor. You know we have a sponsor now.
Yes.
Dyn.com. Have you been trying them out?
I have used Dyn DNS. Well, since the beginning of time. If you're at home and have a dynamic IP address, then, I mean, how else do you point websites at your home?
Well, yeah, but they have changed over the years. For example, they still do offer the basic product that they've been offering for years, which is, of course, the home thing, but they do offer more advanced products.
You know, really? Like what?
You know that they are now more of an enterprise company? And they've always done some of that.
Yeah.
So let's go over a few things they can offer. Let's talk about a little DNS for a little. And you tell me, Jerry, you are a professional developer.
Yes.
So you have the thing that you have, which you have the free Dyn DNS package. But you know that they also offer I don't think they actually offer the full free package anymore. They now offer a Dyn DNS Pro option, which is basically very similar to the free package that they once offered, except obviously you're contributing to their service. That's about $20 a year. And that's for people who want to remotely access their home computers, webcam, DVR, what have you. Except their support. Remember, with free products, you don't get support. You give them money again. You know, they cost them money to run these things. Then for $30 a month, they have complete DNS hosting for a single domain. And that's for personal and small business websites that are low traffic. They have an enterprise thing, which is an enterprise managed DNS. So those are for businesses, which include things like, global traffic management, load balancing, active fallover. So these are people who if you can't afford downtime, that's what you would want. You want a service making sure that no matter what, your site is up. You know, over the weekend, somebody was fiddling with the site that I'm involved with. They messed up one file, and for about just under 24 hours, the site was completely inaccessible.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't me. I wasn't there. That's why it wasn't fixed. When I got back, I helped fix it. But They also now do email, and their email stuff is actually pretty good. They offer a standard SMTP, which is to send email over a secure connection without matching reverse DNS. So let's say you want to send things from your business, but you don't really have your own server. But you want
to rent. Because really, who wants to maintain an email server these days?
With all the security you have to do, you know, in order to protect
it. Yeah.
So they allow it to virus scanning, and they for $20 a year, they do 150 relays per day, 1,500 max, usage graphs. So these are people who, you know, you want to send out emails for whatever business you happen to be in, and you want somebody to maintain it. $20 a year isn't that bad. That's 150 relays per day. So essentially, you can send out 150 individual emails, and you get detailed usage graphs. Now, they have a email delivery service, which starts at $30 a month. That's 120,000 emails per month.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, you can keep going. That's email sending products. They also do receiving, which is Dyn email backup, unlimited email storage and backup queuing for unexpected downtime. They do filtering and scanning email, discarding malicious email before it gets to you. And you can accept and forward emails without actually running a mail server. So they offer products that will essentially act gateways, forwarding, backup services,
whatever. And these prices are so reasonable.
Well, actually, I think they are. Now, I wish I had more to do in this.
I wasn't being sarcastic.
I know. I just always think you are. But I actually want to try out more of these products because I'm looking to, you know, move forward in my little writing business of writing interesting stories on the internet, such as my Gadget Wisdom. Mm-hmm. So maybe I want to start a newsletter. I'm not sure I do, but, you know, I was thinking about it recently. Because right now, if somebody wants to subscribe to my services by newsletter, I'm using FeedBurner, and that service seems to be on its way out. Google seems to be downscaling it. So I'm going, I want to take control of my services and pay for them. Now, this is one of those things. I love free services. I take advantage of them. But sometimes you have to say that I don't know if this is going to go away tomorrow if I don't pay. If I pay, I can demand reliability. I can demand the service will be there when I need it. And Dyn DNS, their bottom line is uptime. They want to make sure that your site keeps running. And they allow any company that you want. They have a price for you. They have the price for people like me who are poor and running things out of their living room. And for people like Jerry, who's part of a big corporation.
Well,
not yourself.
I want to talk. When you talk, you know, big company,
yeah,
you normally talk about a lot of traffic, right?
Yes.
And one of the things they offer is the global traffic management. I love that feature. So basically, the IP address that you get served. Okay, you got a client. He's coming to your website. Well, the first thing that happens is he fires off a DNS request to figure out what the IP address is, right?
Yeah.
If he's close to the East Coast, he gets an IP address that's on the East Coast. If he's on the West Coast, he gets an IP address that's on the West Coast. If he's in Australia, he gets an Australian IP address, or however you want to set it up. So, you know, it helps with balancing out your load, that reduces ping time for your customers. That's just awesome.
Yeah, I wish I had the money to afford all of these services. If I ever become a big business person, I'll have more of these. I have the, you know, right now I'm economizing with small packages, and I continue to ramp up. And someday I will be more, hopefully. Anyway, but remember, that's Dyn DNS. That's D-Y-N. That stands for dynamic, because they used to be in the dynamic DNS business. They still are to some degree, but they do so much more. You can get faster internet by using them for DNS. And what you can do is visit dyn.com/podcast30. Now, this is a different discount code than last week. People thought last week's discount code was too confusing. So they've sent us an easier one to remember. If you can't remember podcast30.
Podcast 30.
Yes, then you may have other problems.
Now, dyn.com/podcast30.
Yes. Now, if you fill out the contact form or start shopping once away and use that same thing as a promo code, podcast30 at checkout, and you'll get 30% off. We want to thank them for sponsoring this program.
And once again, visit dyn.com/podcast30.
Yes, and I always love it when we have the opportunity to talk about somebody. I hope we have many opportunities in the future to talk about interesting companies. We don't get many offers, but, you know, I love having the opportunity to explore these companies and talk about services that I actually am interested in using and would use a lot more of if I had more money.
We've gotten a few offers, but...
Yeah, but not all of them.
We're kind of picky about who we accept, right?
Yes, that has to be a company that we have faith in.
And it's kind of relevant.
Yes, so people here, you know, may be interested in web hosting services. Whereas I think...
I wonder if you could use Dyn DNS to run a web server off your phone.
Maybe you can. Why don't you try it, Jerry? There are web servers.
Crazy.
There are web servers for your phone. Didn't we talk about one a while back?
Yeah, we did.
So why don't you give it a shot?
That would be cool.
Yeah, send me the bill. No, for the Dyn DNS services.
Well, the Dyn DNS stuff is the dynamic DNS.
Yeah.
The basic rotating. Well, was it $20 a year? It's like almost free.
Yeah, and they do offer a trial, of course, if you want to see how it works for you. And to this day, a lot of routers still support it.
Yes. As a matter of fact, DDWRT, which is what I'm running on mine.
Does support
my server, my router, supports it out of the box.
Yeah, and I really have to go and pester my employer. I work at home, and they've given me this VPN router, and they've blocked all incoming ports on the thing. They keep promising me they're going to fix that. It's really depressing. I have to go to my employer in order to fix my home internet situation. But
it wouldn't happen for me.
Well, no, the thing is that they gave me a VPN router, so they have control over it, and I don't. So if I want to continue work, I can unhook it whenever I wasn't working, but it's a pain in the neck to crawl under the desk and hook it back in again.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I keep working on it. Not my list. Anyway, we have some Android news. You know.
Oh, are we an Android podcast?
Sometimes I wonder. You know, I am considering branching out into other podcasts, but I've never found a host that, you know, compares to you.
You just haven't looked hard enough.
No. It takes a lot of work to do the show. If I found another host, he'd have to do most of the work. You know, I've said this before.
Yes, you do put a lot of work into this podcast.
I'll repeat the offer. If somebody is interested in doing a show with me, I will be the engineer. I will do the uploading. All you have to do is show up well-informed, and I'll be the Jerry of the group. You know, the one who...
Wait a minute. That's what I do. I just show up.
Yeah. I'm going to be the guy who shows up, and I'm looking for a co-host who makes sure that he's well-informed, and I'll be the... You know how you, in comedy duos, you have the straight guy?
Yes.
You know, you have the guy who does the talking and the guy who experiences and responds to it?
Yes.
I will be the straight man. I'll be the one who's reacting instead of explaining.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So if you're interested, feel free to email us. That's podcast@androidbuffet.com. You can email us along with your entry for our contest to win the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory DVD. And if that isn't enough, if you send a really good picture, maybe I'll include a surprise.
Maybe.
Well, you know, you do know that last week the Door to Dreegee called and he received his gift.
He did? What did he get?
What I promised him. Blazing Saddles.
I'm not quite sure that's a good thing.
It's a movie. It's a classic.
Okay.
Listen to the episode. You'll hear his voicemail. If you want, I'll play it for you after the show. I don't want to play it twice. Some other things. Have you seen this new expanded desktop mode in the Paranoid Android ROM? What it does is it hides the on-screen buttons in the notification bar, but allows you to bring them back with an up swipe or a down swipe, so you get more real estate on the screen.
And if you've got a Galaxy Note, that's exactly what you need.
According to the guy in Chicago who sold me his S3, yes. He seemed nice. Maybe he's listening. I didn't mention to him I run an Android themed podcast with a guy in Florida who's going to Washington. Samsung is building an enterprise platform based on Android, offering enhanced Exchange Active Sync support, on-device encryption, VPN, and mobile device management. So I have to ask you something, Jerry.
Yes.
Is this good fragmentation?
Yes.
Yeah. Is this where developers can write an Android-based distro, you know, the same way that we have, let's say, Fedora or Ubuntu, where the programs will run, but they can put in their own value-added features?
No.
Why not?
I see this as more Android trying to take over BlackBerry's spot. I mean, one of the major features of this was improved ActiveSync support, right? Exchange server connectivity. Sounds enterprisey to me, and that's normally been a place that has been a BlackBerry situation. Windows Phone is trying to grab that, and I think Android with a new enterprisey version is trying to stick their nose in it. So I think it's a good thing, because that way we can get more business users using Android, and voila. And I think that's cool.
Okay. I'll accept that. We also have some interesting apps that came out this week. Just a few. Lumano is an app that has real people read the news to you. So it's just
weird.
Yeah, it's just like this podcast.
That's just weird.
Yes.
I don't know.
Don't you want real people reading this? Do you want fake people reading the news to you? The Senate is expected to vote on this today.
Off the top of my head, it comes across as weird. But does it make it any different than just a kind of personalized podcast? You know, if you listen to Tech News Today or any of the other daily news podcasts, is it any different? Other than you get to select the stories?
I don't have time to do a daily podcast, Jerry. I'm sorry, I have to turn your offer down to turn this podcast daily.
That was so not what I was doing.
Oh, good.
You crazy fool.
I do enjoy Mondays, though. Except for those few minutes when you weren't here and I was worried I'd have to talk to myself for an hour. But
yeah, I'm sorry about that.
But I'm glad you're back. Let's see. XBMC is offering a non-official custom build that offers support for external media players.
I like it. Yeah. Although there really aren't that many good external media players for Android right now.
Well, there are a few that aren't bad, but you know,
VLC doesn't count.
Well, no, I'm saying MX Player, Dice Player, there are a few that aren't bad. None of them are perfect, but some of them are pretty decent. You can look at the ones that Dan Fry uses for Myth TV for Android.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those aren't bad. They change around for whichever one works better for them.
Oh, yeah.
They change frequently because some of them break. Dolphin browser was updated. Despite the fact that Chrome is now on Android, people still like Dolphin, including myself.
You have the opportunity to choose between Dolphin and Chrome. I mean, now, if you don't have a version of Android that runs Chrome because, you know, what is it, ice cream sandwich or higher only?
Yeah.
Then Dolphin is a good second choice. But if you're on ice cream or Jelly Bean, do you run Dolphin or do you run Chrome?
I run Dolphin.
Really? Wow.
Because Chrome was very slow for me. Maybe it's gotten better. I'll go revisit it.
I am surprised by that. I mean, good on you. I mean, Dolphin browser is a good browser.
Also, it has LastPass support, which is nice.
Yes.
I hate having to remember my passwords.
I really wish Chrome had LastPass
integration. Well, they could do, you know, plugins if they wanted to. Not necessarily full-featured ones, but they could do some mobile plugins. Anyway, Carbon, which was an unreleased Twitter client, has apparently been revived.
Which immediately begs the question, why?
Because people want Twitter clients, despite the fact that Twitter doesn't want Twitter clients.
But why would you write a Twitter client? It's not like you can be successful. As soon as you get X number of users, you're cut off.
I don't know. Stay tuned. Maybe there'll be a last-minute surprise.
Seems sucky to me.
Okay.
In my opinion. I mean, I have not tried Carbon. I'm sure it's awesome.
Well, I'm waiting for Falcon. It looks much better. I'm waiting for it to have multiple account support. Because, you know, I have to monitor not just the Gadget Wisdom account, but the Android Buffet Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's really hopping. Never. I really have to talk to people using that account. How many Twitter accounts can one person run?
Apparently a lot.
Apparently I do. But anyway, Lode Runner Classic is now out for Android, so if you enjoyed the classic 1980s game, you can now buy a copy for Android.
With unimproved graphics.
But that's better. It's called Nostalgia, Jerry.
It is.
I love revisiting old games. I was just talking last week with our guest. I want them to bring back the Mega Man franchise for Android. I think that one has potential.
Okay.
Fond memories of childhood. You can use an Android tablet as an input device for a Linux-based X11 system. Nice idea. So use your Android device as a tablet for your computer.
Like a little bamboo thing or a Wacom.
Yeah, well, you know that some of the Samsung Galaxy Notes actually have Wacom technology in it. They have a pen that's pressure sensitive. Right. So why not use it to draw on your computer? Use it as an input device.
Sure. I'd love it if I could do that on mine. On my Windows machine.
I'm sure somebody can write a driver like this. But it's a good idea. The Press app, which we talked about previously, it's another Google Reader app, has been updated with many requested features, including background syncing, sync on launch, and more. If you are looking for the perfect Google Reader app, I think that it's actually heating up right now. A lot of people, for some reason, are producing Google Reader apps. Because we also have an update to Pulse Reader with social profiles. And there's a new one that's in beta that was released last month, Flow Reader. And it looks very nice, and it looks like if they keep working at it, it might also be a nice alternative. Do you use Reader, Jerry?
I do not.
Okay. How do you keep track of the world news?
I pretty much don't, okay. And that's on purpose.
Well, that's how
my weekly exposure to news is you.
Yeah, that's why I use Reader. Otherwise, there would be too much news for me to keep track of. Also, if you want to dial directly from your home screen, you can try the simpler dialer widget. Which is a net sort of widget which puts a little dial pad and contact form on your home screen somewhere so that you can dial directly from there without having to go into an app.
On your lock screen.
Why not?
Who thinks this is a good idea?
I don't want to put it on your lock screen. I'd want to put it somewhere on one of my windows if I wanted it.
Okay, sure. I could see that. You know, I don't have enough. I have too many screens on my desktop that I...
What is with you and screens? You always have so many of them, and I always have so few.
No, I'm talking about on your Windows or on your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first thing I always do...
On your phone, you have, like, you can swipe left and right, right?
Yeah, but I always...
So what do you call those?
No, they're screens, but I always minimize them.
Okay, well, on the lap or on my phone, I have several of those screens that are blank.
Okay.
I don't have anything on them. And putting a dialer on that would be cool. And I see the use in that. But is a widget on the lock screen? Seems to defeat the point of a lock screen.
I'm going to agree with you on that. But I think having it on the screen is nice. So, you know, there's always more, you know, it takes all colors to make a rainbow, Jerry.
Yes.
I'm sure there's somebody who likes this. And I do have one more thing I'm going to mention that I picked up that I want to test as an Android companion device. I picked up something called a Doxy. Have you heard of one of these, Jerry?
I have not heard of Doxy. What is a Doxy?
Doxy is the name of the company. This is a document scanner. It comes in two versions, a Wi-Fi version, and I have one here. This is the Doxy that it scans directly to an SD card with no computer. So if I want to get rid of large amounts of paper, I can run it through this thing and then pull out the SD card and attach it to my Nexus 7 using my adapter cable. So I can essentially get rid of large amounts of paper in an efficient manner without ever using a computer.
Is it battery powered?
It is battery or AC adapter powered.
And this is the Doxy Go.
There are two of them. There's a Doxy 1 and the Doxy Go, I believe. This is, I think, which is which? Which is the less expensive one?
The Doxy 1.
Yeah, then this is the one.
Apparently, the Doxy Go,
yeah.
You can also plug in a USB flash drive.
Why would I need one of those?
Well, for storing. Or, you know, it could store the scans on an SD card or a USB drive. It's also, the Doxy Go also has built-in memory, can scan legal-sized paper, even an available Wi-Fi bundle.
Yeah, I went with the basic model. So I've been scanning things. It has decent quality, and I can get rid of a lot of paper. My goal is to stop having large pieces of paper around.
And I completely understand.
Half the time, I'm too lazy to go and do it with a computer. I figure if I can just scan it to a card, I'll get to it later.
So how big is it?
Well, I have it right here.
Oh, that's how big it is.
Well, you have the dimensions there. The size so that the scanner can run through a piece of paper, but actually the width of the actual scanning device is about the size of a business card.
Mm. And how tall is it? Is it kind of bulky looking?
Well, how bulky is bulky looking?
4.5
inches?
I don't know. How bulky is bulky looking? Medium? I don't know. How do I answer that?
Well, let me think. I'm trying to, you know, make an analogy to a device you may have seen. The height of the device while resting is about the size, I would say maybe an inch high.
Two deck of cards?
Yeah, that'll do it.
All right.
With a little
so device. It's about the size of 8 decks of cards.
6.
Okay.
Maybe.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's still, I think it could get a lot smaller. And I think they will get a lot smaller eventually, but cool. Well,
I think that it can't get much smaller and still scan document size. I think you get a smaller one that just scans business cards.
No, I mean like tall. It's really tall.
An inch high is tall?
Yeah. How big does it need to be?
I don't know. You need to have a light in it in order to scan.
Yeah. So I'm thinking something like the bezel on an iPhone. Or not an iPhone, on an iPad. You know, about that thick, about that wide, about that tall,
okay.
I think would make for a good scanner.
Yeah, in this case, this is something, you know, I have a flatbed scanner hooked into my printer. I have a multifunction,
mm-hmm.
But I find it a pain in the neck to use it.
I concur.
So this looked like a good idea, and even though it's not Linux compatible, they do have some software for Windows and Mac. It seemed like a good idea because it scans to an SD card, it's compatible with anything. I just take the card out and stick it into something else, including the Chromebook, by the way. Which has an SD card slot.
Mm.
Yeah. I know the Chromebook is not good for you, but maybe you'll like the Doxy. So you may notice...
The Doxy's interesting.
Yeah, well, what happens, you know that I've been having some renovation things here.
Yes.
So I put all this stuff into boxes that I have to go through, and I figured if I can take stuff out of a box, run it through a scanner, and throw it directly into the recycling bin, that would save me a lot of space. I have a lot of paper. You know what I found?
I'm sure you do.
Well, I was putting it away until I have time to go through it in a couple of days. And you know what I found in one of the boxes?
Paper?
No, me making H's when I was in first grade.
Ha!
I made a mean H.
Why would you make a mean H? Why not a nice H?
I did one of those, too. I made H's of all different emotions.
Okie dokie.
Okay. So, Jerry, is there anything on your mind this week since we missed your mind all of last week?
I hate traveling.
Well, what mobile device did you take along? Just your phone, or did you take along anything else?
I took a laptop, I took my phone, and I took my Kindle.
This is your... which type of Kindle is this kid?
The Paperwhite.
Okay, how is the Paperwhite treating you?
I like it. I don't have to have a light on it. I can... So, you know, it's extremely convenient size-wise.
Okay. What were you reading?
Well, so far I've read Demon and Freedom TM on it, because that's kind of, you know, you gotta. And I'm also reading Design for Hackers, Starting Strength, and a few other books.
Did you try the one I suggested? The classic Harry Harrison novel, The Technicolor Time Machine?
No, I have not.
I should reread that book. I love that one. Shame he's deceased and will never write a sequel.
Yes. Did he at least finish the book?
No, he finished that one, yes.
Okay. So it doesn't leave you hanging, because that would suck.
Yeah, it was written like in the 60s, I believe. But he just died earlier last year. Many of his earlier things are actually in public domain.
Are you familiar with, what's it called? 100 Zeros?
Doesn't ring a bell.
100zeros.com.
Okay. What is it?
It's basically I wouldn't call it a curation, a collection.
Yes.
A scraping, a big, big, big list of free ebooks on Amazon for the Kindle.
I'm going to have a look at that. I shall save that for future reference when the show is not.
100 zeros spelled out. And they've got a large number of books.
Oh, I see it.
And categorized. I mean, there's some good stuff in there.
Ooh, Les Miserables. I hear that's in the movies right now.
Yep.
Yeah. I heard they made a book of it. Yep. So we have to get through some housekeeping before we go for the evening.
All right.
You know, of course, that we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, I'm big fans of theirs, and you can check out some of their exciting shows. For example, you can check out Two Smart Guys. That's T-O-O, Smart Guys. And they're doing a roundup and final video for CES coverage. They do how-to videos and reviews of the latest mods for the latest gadgets. You can also check, of course, Mind of the Geek, the official Mind of the Geek podcast. And, of course, Dr. Bill TV. You can join Dr. Bill as he examines the wild and wacky world of tech, computers, and all things geeky. In episode 274, he is doing the Raspberry at Subway edition. I wonder what that's about. What's a Raspberry Pi doing at Subway? Anyway.
I don't know. Running the cash register?
That'd be interesting. I know how you feel about Pi.
Yeah, I'm not a big Raspberry Pi fan.
Yeah, it has its pros and cons. A few other things. Of course, you can email us at podcast@androidbuffet.com. You can send us a voicemail at 2012-WENECA. That's W-E-N-E-C-A. Of course, you can visit our Facebook page. You can visit our Google Plus page. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/androidbuffet. We have a long string of numbers for the Google Plus page, so please don't ask me to remember what it is. But if you go to the Android Buffet page, there's a link, so I don't have to remember the long string of numbers. We, of course, have a Twitter account that's @AndroidBuffet, which I like to keep an eye on. So if you say something, I'll probably see it. You can find me on Twitter @GadgetWisdom. You can find me a bunch of other places as well. I write things over at GadgetWisdom. Jerry, of course, can be reached at jerry.jones@gmail.com. He is, of course, an evil genius, according to his business card.
And I don't socialize. I don't do social networks.
Yes. Well, I do them for promotional purposes. I feel that is where people are talking about the show, and I must be there to respond. In the event they talk about us. So talk about us and I will respond. Except Google Plus, that's Kevin McLaughlin. He'll respond. And I believe that covers all of housekeeping. We will, of course, be back next week. Or I'll be back next week. Jerry, will you be back next week?
I hope so.
You'll tell me if you're not going to be back.
Yes.
Because we did have a potential guest who was interested in being a guest I've asked if you'd be interested in being pre-interviewed because, you know, many of our guests, you know, we know that they've done other things. I was not familiar with this gentleman, so I figured it would be prudent of us to talk to him prior to inviting him on the show, or at least for me to talk to him and I'll screen him.
Okie dokie.
So we have an offer of a guest from a Mr. Josh McKee. He is apparently a contributor to a site called mandatorytech.com. So free plug for that site. Mm. So if you're interested, I will arrange to pre-interview him to make sure that he would be a good fit for our podcast, in which case I think we should invite him on.
Sweet.
Yes, I did enjoy the fact that his email back to me was sent from his iPhone.
Ha!
I'm not if you're listening, I'm not making fun of you. I just find that makes for interesting conversation.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I'll see if I can set that up. Josh, if you're listening, expect an email. Okay, any final things you'd like to add, Jerry, before we wrap it up for the week?
I think we're done.
Okay. I missed you, Jerry, and I hope...
I missed you, too. I was really upset that I didn't get to do the show last night, yeah, and last week.
We actually got a plug from Matt. He actually remembered he was on the show when he was doing his own show.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually mentioned he'd made an appearance, which he didn't do the last time he was on the show. So we should thank him for the plug. And, Jerry, you can listen to the episode. I know you don't normally listen.
I will listen to last week's episode.
Yeah, but usually you're here, so you know I don't listen to the episode because I was here for it.
Yes.
So if I'm ever not here for the episode, well, I don't know how you'd record it, but if I'm ever not here, I would certainly listen. Anyway, Jerry, I guess that wraps up for this week. We'll see you back here next week. And if you are not here live, remember you can join us Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're in California, that's, of course, 8 p.m. If you're in Texas, that's 9 p.m. If you're in London, that would be 3 in the morning.
Are you familiar with the Time Is site?
No, I was just doing this from memory.
Time.is.
Okay.
Time.is. For
what time is it in
New York? It is 22:58. London, it's 3:58 in the morning. Paris, 4:58. Istanbul, 5:58. Moscow, 7:58.
What about Dubai, Denmark?
Denmark?
Yeah, Copenhagen. What time is it in Copenhagen?
That would be Paris time, so 4:58.
Okay. New Zealand and Australia, that area? About 2 in the afternoon tomorrow? I just want to see.
I don't know.
I want to see if I'm right. What time is it in Sydney?
Sydney. It is 11:15. Or, I'm sorry, 2... It's almost 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, so the show starts at 2 p.m. Tuesday afternoon in Australia.
Copenhagen, it is almost 5 in the morning.
Okay, so the show starts at 4.
There's a little search bar at the top of time.is, and okay. As you start typing, it shows you a drop-down list of, you know, like, places that match what you're typing.
You're not even...
And it doesn't make you hit enter. In the drop-down bar, it has what time it is there.
So you're not even impressed that most of these I was doing from memory? I'm so hurt.
I'm always impressed.
I want to occasionally be appreciated for my impressive, pointless geekiness. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. If it is currently 3 a.m., 2 a.m., 2 p.m., or what time it happens to be in your time zone, remember you can catch us live next week or send us something and hear us on the DL. Remember, we make episodes available almost immediately after the show is posted, and you can download them and listen to them. And if you don't hear them sometime on Tuesday Eastern time, please tell me because occasionally there's a technical hit and I want to make sure that you get the episode ASAP. That's as soon as podcasted. Any final words, Jerry, before we say goodnight to these good people?
That was funny.
What was?
As soon as podcasted.
Is that what ASAP stands for?
Not quite, but
in this case,
it's awesome.
Okay. And just remember, you could be the proud owner of a copy of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and you can enter a world of pure imagination. Goodbye, Jerry.
Goodbye.